I've been, you know, when Pastor asks, you know, we go through the schedule and we join the meetings of who's ministering, and I've been, since I found out, you know, I would be ministering this day, I've been seeking God, you know, seeing what's on my heart, what God puts on my heart, and this topic keeps coming up, and I keep thinking about it, and asking God questions, so it actually, my thought process or asking God questions has happened, like, it's been a while, you know, since I had questions. I really started seeking God now about it, but I had questions prior. Mm-hmm. And it was when another, someone that I know from church, she mentioned that there is a book. And the book is called The Five Love Languages. Okay, but the book is not, at least I don't believe it is, but it's not a book about God. It's not, you know, it's about, it's a counselor. It's a man that was a counselor, and he wrote this book. You've heard of the book. You've heard of it. And you said he's a pastor?
No, I think
To marriage. Okay. So, I'm sorry, there's a little interaction going on,
yes,
which I kind of like because that gives me a little break. Amen. Okay. So, so this book, the book is about how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate. That's what the book is about. And this man was a counselor, and he saw men and women, and he counseled them on marriages. And I guess from over the years, he's learned that there's there are five love languages. And he says that in the book that he'll ask questions so that you can determine what your love language is. Okay, and then you can also discover another person's love language, your mate, you know, their love language. And so one must observe the way they express love to others and what they complain about most often and what they request most often. That's how you can determine what, you know, one's love language is. And I'll give an example, but just not yet. So in the book, he theorizes that people tend to naturally give love in the way they prefer to receive love. And better communication can be accomplished when one can demonstrate caring to the other person in the love language the recipient understands. So when you understand your, you know, and it's not only for mates, he has books to, you know, for children, you know, your children. I even saw one for the military, you know, for the military. And so once you understand what that person, you know, in your life, their love language is, then you can love them the way they feel they need to be loved, or they, you know, and vice versa, okay? And so he gave an example of a husband's, you know, a love language can be an act of service. So by him doing the laundry, you know, to him, he's showing you that he loves you, right? But the spouse may not receive that or understand that is his way of saying I love you, because her love language is affirmation. Tell me you love me. Tell me I look beautiful. You know, words. So here he is, he's thinking, I'm showing you I'm loving you by doing these acts of service, whatever it may be, but the wife is not receiving it that way. But if the wife were to go out and mow the lawn, then the husband would receive it as love, because that's an act of service. That is his love language, right? So So we tend to use what we value, you know. So in this case, in that example, the wife is the words of affirmation to express her love to him. But amen, I'm repeating myself again. But if she understands his love language, she would mold a horn for him. And he would perceive it as an act of love. The book is good. You know, the book sounds like it's good because, you learn the psyche, you know, of each and every one of us. And we have relationships, not just with our spouses, but with our children, with our coworkers, with our friends, with our sisters, our brothers, our mothers, our fathers, you know, church, people in the church, our church family. So it's good, but I think this is when I start questioning God, you know, because I start seeing that because we're not communicating it to one another, you know, what our love language is or understanding the other person, then we think that person doesn't love us or we're not being loved. And then maybe it causes strife, you know, it may cause, you know, arguments or, you know. So then I said, well, then the book is not really that good. I mean, it's probably a good book. And again, I haven't read the book. I just know of it. So let me just say that the different love languages are acts of service, gift giving, physical touch, quality time, and words of affirmation. Okay. But I said, but God, you know, just in conversation over the years, hearing people talk, hearing how people are disappointed, or the expectation that we place on one another, and how we fail each other because we're human, you know. So I feel like this book doesn't really feed our soul. It doesn't feed our souls. It doesn't, you know, it's not life-giving, you know. So we have to turn to the book of God, the Bible. Amen. Interpret the love that people give to us and that we give. But we can't stop there. To truly understand love, we have to turn to the one who loved us first. Amen. In God alone do we find true love and fulfillment. And I think that without understanding that, without seeking God and reading his word, what he has to say about it, you will never feel fulfilled, or you will always look towards someone else to fill you, to meet a need, that we are not supposed to be turning to man to fill the need. It should be God that fills every need that we have. And during the week, while I was kind of listening to worship and flipping through Instagram through some of the Christian speakers that I listened to, one came up, and it kind of it made me think that's what I was thinking. You know, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, God's speaking to me, because she's confirmed, you know. So I just want to read a part of it. I want to read what she says. Her name is Lisa Bevere, and she says, you are not in control of your spouse's actions. You are only in control of your response. You are responsible for your own happiness. You do not want to give that much power to somebody else and say, if you don't treat me the way that I am valued by God, then I'm not going to feel good about myself. You've got to get your value and life from God. and then you will have something to give. She goes on to say, there was a moment where she heard the Holy Spirit say to her, tell me I am enough for you. And when you come to this, to a place of worship, God goes from enough to more than enough for you. And when God is more than enough for you, you're no longer complaining about people who are not doing enough. You actually have an overflow for other people, and you begin to see them differently. And I was like, she like wrapped it up for me in a pretty package of what I was feeling about that book, you know, or feeling that how we, instead of running to the one who can meet every need, every one of our needs, and fulfill us, we get into relationships that maybe we should not be getting into, or we look for, you know, our mate to fill us, the only way that only God can fill us, or maybe you go and have a kid because you feel something's missing in your life, and, you know, I've known of people that have done that, to have a child to fill a void in their life. But voids can only be filled by God. They can only
be filled because
you will constantly be searching and running after man, because it will never be enough. Even if they, you know, if your love language is affirmation, and even if the person continues to tell you they love you, they love you, they love you, it will still never be enough if God is not the one first that you run to.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You will always feel empty, or always feel a void, or always need someone else to affirm you.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to search deeper, right? The book is a world, to me it's the world, you know, it's the world speaking. But we're citizens of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So we have to seek God and see what lines up with the kingdom of God, what he says. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And amen. So, in order for us to, in order for our needs to be met by God, in order for us to be filled and feel loved by God, right, we have to get to know him. We need to develop a relationship with him. We need to find out, you know, who is this God that we say we love or that we serve? In the Old Testament, there's a lot of foundational truths about God that we need to build our house, to build our own house. And as Christians, right, our life needs to be built upon the love of Christ, because it is the only firm foundation that we can have. Amen. So then that means you have to read, look into the Bible, find out about the God that we serve, right? So the title of my message is God good enough for you? Is he good enough for you? In the Old Testament, so we're going to take a journey, right, of who God is, who God says. And in the names of God from the Old Testament, we often speak them at this pulpit, so amen about that. But I just want to list a few. We have Jehovah, I am. He is who he says he is. He's I am. Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. He is more than enough. Jehovah Rapha, God is our healer. Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace. Jehovah Nissi, God is our battle fighter. Jehovah Rohi, God is our good shepherd. And then El Shaddai, God Almighty, all sufficient one, the God who is more than enough. So this is the God that we serve. And I felt that, because there are many more names of God, you know, that we can go through. But these spoke to me because these meet every need, you know. There's more that meet your needs. But every aspect of your life, the names of God, you know, once you learn them, once you know who he is, they meet your need. So you no longer lack. And if you're running to God, like I said, to meet your needs and to fulfill you, then the love that you have for others or the love that they have for you, it's not going to make or break you, you know, because you have the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is what, you know, hits every area of your life. No one else can do that for you. Not your mother, not your brother or your sister or your children. Amen. Amen. So, amen. So we're talking about love, right? And being filled with the love of God. Amen. So what is love? In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Amen. 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 And, so in John, and first, you don't have to turn here, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says that God is love. That God is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So not only, so that's why he is the only one that could fulfill you. Because it's not that God gives his love to you. God is love. He is love.
That's right.
So if we read that verse again in Corinthians, it says, love is patient and kind. God is patient and kind. God does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. God does not insist on its own way. God is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. God never ends. Amen. And that is the love that we need to be seeking. That is the love that we need to be seeking. If we build our house on love, if we build it on God, we will have a firm foundation to build upon relationships, to build on a marriage, to build God's church on. Once we begin, you know, to seek God and truly receive, you know, his love, God into our hearts, We won't look to others to fill a void, to heal a broken heart. We're not going to look at someone else to make us whole. Okay. We're not going to look at our spouses or our children or, you know, friends at church, because we fail each other. It's human nature. We're not perfect. We're still in this body. You know, we walk around, and sometimes we fail people, and we're not perfect. But God's love never fails. Amen. Amen. You can trust God's promises and take him at his word. Isaiah 55, chapter 11. Oh, I'm sorry. Isaiah, yeah, 55, chapter 11. I guess I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. Oh, no, chapter 55, verse 11. I'm sorry. Yes, that's what it was. That's what it is. So it's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. So it's not going to return to him void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So that's a promise from God. You know, that's what we can put our faith and our trust in, not in man, but in God, because his word says, you know, that his word, what comes out of his mouth, he will accomplish. It will never return void back to him. So if God gives you a promise, he is not going to fail you. God will never break that promise like man does. You know, he's going to fulfill it. You could bank on it. And an example would be the story of creation. Right, where I'm not going to go into it, but you can read Genesis chapter 1 through 31, verse 1 through 31, and it gives the story of creation, where God spoke, and he created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created the day and the night. So that story in the Bible confirms what God said in that word. In Isaiah, that his word that goes out of his mouth will not return empty or void to him, right? Because we're still living on the earth, right? It still continues. It still continues. Amen. 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 And God's love is unconditional. When we love each other, it's conditional, right? If I'm not upset with you right now at this moment, or if you clean the bathroom like you were supposed to, you know, then we're good. I'm good ground right now. But God's love is unconditional. And Romans chapter 5, verse 8, this is the New King James Version. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though we fail him, even though we sin, we may sin against him, he chose us. He loved us first. He demonstrates his own love towards us by the fact that he gave his son, right, to die for us.
Amen.
Christ died on the cross for us, that we may have life, that we may have everlasting life, that we would have a relationship with him, the Creator. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I'm trying to just build a foundation, you know, of who God is. You know, God is love. And what does his word say about love? You know, so that we can build on that, on those truths that are in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
God is a good shepherd, so he's good to us, right? He shepherds us. He he's in Luke chapter 15, verse 3 through 6. In the New King James Version, I'm reading. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And so God is our good and faithful shepherd. He is always, no matter what we do, his love never fails us. No matter how far we try and separate ourselves from the love of God, God is always there. God is still waiting there. He's a good father. He's a patient father. Amen. So I hope, you know, you're following along, is that I'm just trying to build a foundation. We need to build that foundation. Amen. So evidence of your foundation, what is evidence of your foundation is built on love, right? So how do you know that you have built a foundation that's on love, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is operating in your life. That's how you know you have built that foundation. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If you're producing fruit, if you're producing good fruit, right, that will be evidence that you're walking in peace, that you're walking in God's kindness and goodness, in faithfulness and gentleness, and you have self-control, right? If your foundation is firm in the love of God, right, not only are you bearing fruit for yourself, so you're bearing fruit, right, for others to eat from that fruit, right, the joy, the peace that you give to others, but you yourself are eating from that fruit. So what is inside of you is the love, the joy, the peace of God that is enough for you, that fulfills and that satisfies you. And it's satisfying to your soul, and it's also satisfying to others, because then they can eat from the overflow. They can eat from that fruit. Amen. 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 And so, in that overflow, if you're producing fruit, then it is more than enough, because it's going to be satisfying to your soul, and it's going to be satisfying to others. So God is more than enough. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is the all-sufficient one. So we need to read the word, we need to seek God and learn the attributes of God, who God is, and stand on that. Like I said, build our foundation and stand on that. And when you do that, it will be enough. It'll be more than enough. And I told my son that I wasn't going to give any examples of my children. I think he's on. Yeah, he is on. And I guess I didn't tell the truth because I'm going to give an example of my children. I'm like really hot up here. Can you tell how hot I am? You can. Can I petition, please? To it, I've learned over the years because I seek God to fill me, because I look to Him, I run to Him for love to fill me. My relationship with my children, at least in my eyes, has gotten better. It's gotten better because I'm able to see them for who they are. And I'm able to see, the book does help because it helps you to learn people's love languages. So my love language would probably be for them to hug me, to tell me, oh, I love you, and, get affirmation from them. My kids are not like that. I try and give them hugs, Some of them let me hug them, but, others are like, okay, if I try and be a loving, all lovey-dovey, they're like, okay, you're being corny now, because that's not their love language. Right? In the past, I would have gotten offended. In the past, I would have been like hurt. Oh, my love is not enough, or you don't love me because you're not accepting me how I am, but I've come to, like I said, I seek God and have Him fill me. So my relationship with my children are better because now I notice the things that they do that show me that they love me.
Amen.
Even to the small things, and Emmanuel, maybe I shouldn't list up my names, but I have a couple of kids that'll cook for me, Matthew too. They'll cook, and even to the, the smallest things. When Emmanuel, one time he cooked, not too long ago, he cooked breakfast, and he brought me the breakfast to my room. Matthew does too, but they bring the breakfast to my room, and I think that's great, because I'm working, and so they bring it to the room. But I noticed that the cup of juice, the cup was cold. So he put the cup of juice in the freezer so that the juice would get cold for me. So that when I drank, I would have, because there's no ice in the house. So it's a little things that I was aware of that shows me His love. Another thing that he does is, one Sunday I was coming to church, and they use the car, so he was straightening it out and everything, and I'm always like with a lint brush, and even in the car driving over, I'm always like rolling with the lint brush and everything as I'm driving, and I noticed he had the lint brush ready and like on the, the console for me, and so that shows me that He knows me, He knows He's mindful of me, and that's his love language to me. And first of all, that's
right,
service. First of all, that's awesome. That's wonderful. But if I wasn't filled with the love of God and didn't seek God to fill every void, that wouldn't be enough for me. I would just look at, You didn't tell me you loved me today. You didn't hug me. You won't let me hug. You didn't tell me I looked good today. You know? Amen. And even Matthew, you know, he cooks for me. And, you know, they, you see, when you have the love of God, when your foundation is firm in who God is, you notice the people in your life when they do things in their love language to you. And it's enough. Maybe it's not what you wanted or you expected, but it's enough. Because you're not looking for them to fill that void in your life. Because God is all sufficient. God is the great I am. God is the one you should be running to when you're depressed, when you're sad, when you're feeling empty, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling suicidal, whatever it is you may be feeling or going through, when your feelings get hurt, God is the one that you should run to, because he is our good father, because he loved you first. Before you were in your mother's womb, before you were even an idea in their brain, God loved you first.
Amen.
And that's what we need to get to learn and understand. You know, first, not the love languages, people's love language. It's God's love language, who he is in our life. And I think that if we did that more, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache. We would save other people from a lot of heartache, from breaking their hearts. Amen. Even Emily, you know, she just calls me, FaceTimes me, and sometimes I'm like, I really don't want to talk on the phone. I just want to do nothing and be by myself. And then God checks me, like, that's her love language. She's not one to be all lovey-dovey with you. But for her to FaceTime you just to talk or just to sit and watch a movie with her while she's in another state, that's her love language to you, you know? And I think, you know, we do need to be mindful, you know, of each other and understand it, you know? I think it will heal a lot of relationships if we were more understanding and we understood everyone's love language, but most of all, God's love language to us first and what it means to us. And that,
amen.
You know, he's the only one that'll make you whole. So when your children grow up and leave the house, you know, you're not going to be alone, because you're going to be with God.
Amen.
You know, because God is the one who stands up for you. Amen. And that is my message for today.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.